Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Thanks to everybody for hanging out with us over the next hour or so. You doing all right, Joe?
Yeah. You know,
you answered that like I was accusing you of not...
No, it's yesterday just seemed to go by really slowly. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure we've all had.
I think that's because you came back to work.
Yeah, it just seemed like I was, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what happens.
I can't believe it's only Tuesday, but it is. It's only Tuesday, and I don't know if you've heard this, Brian. Not many people are talking about it, but we're a week away from the election.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anyone say that yet today, so I wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, you weren't listening to the show? Is that,
no, I was.
That's how it goes. 803-0930, 803-0930 here on WBEN. We are a week away from the election. It's, I don't know, we were talking about it just now, Joe. It feels like it's maybe not in your everyday life, maybe not personally, day to day, but in this business and in the news industry and it feels like it's sucking the oxygen out of everything else.
Yes, and it is crossing into other things. No, you're probably not, you know, at a sports bar talking about the election, but if you're at a sports bar watching the World Series or you're watching a football game, you can't escape it. The ads are there. No matter if you're watching a sporting event, if you're watching a Hallmark Christmas movie, the political ads are all over the place, and, you know, yeah, you can't escape it.
I like Joe just mentioning the two things he watches on TV. A sporting event, a Hallmark Christmas, as you all do all the time, you can't escape the
Columbo,
ads.
Columbo, I mean, you can't escape these political ads.
All three things that are on TV, there's no escaping them. But not like in the news industry and, you know, where it does kind of take a lot out of everything else going on. And, you know, in some cases, rightfully so, it's a presidential election. It's once every 4 years. Yeah. I mean, it is a pretty important day for America. But at the same time, it does seem to, once you reach this point, and especially after, you know, the last 6 months, it's starting to drag on a little bit here. A lot of different things to, you know, talk about, though, when it comes to the election coming up. One of them, Joe, I want to, you know, hear what you have to say about. Did you read Jeff Bezos's op-ed in the Washington Post?
I actually have it right in front of me.
You know, his defending basically the decision to not endorse a candidate. He calls it the right decision. He says it's a principled decision. He says endorsements have little impact, but they increase the perception that the newspaper is biased. And he says he doesn't want the Post to fade into irrelevance. I'm wondering what you think about the decision not only to not endorse a candidate, but what you think about what Bezos had to say.
So I always thought it was kind of weird when papers did endorse a candidate. And don't get me wrong, many still do. But I've always thought that was weird because, you know, there was a day, Brian, where newspapers were read by people from both political sides. Now, I am not the biggest news reader. I'm not the biggest reader. But there are articles from news publications that I read. And, you know, when one paper is always endorsing someone from one side of the aisle, you can think of our semi-local newspaper here. You kind of just feel like, and I understand, don't get me wrong, it's the same argument. It's the same thing that we try to stress here. There is opinion and there is news. And at newspapers, you have editorials, you have the opinion section, you have news. But when a newspaper is constantly just endorsing from one side, you know, it does make you think, okay, am I getting the straight news from that publication? And I just always thought newspapers endorsing candidates were weird. Of course, the newspaper has their opinion section, and the opinion section is different than the news, just like in talk radio. But you never have WBEN endorsing a candidate. I just thought that was weird when papers do it. And I applaud Jeff Bezos for saying, hey, we want to be the paper of record. And there's no reason to and it's not like they're just sitting this election out. They will no longer be endorsing candidates. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It doesn't mean the opinion section is going away. It just means that there's not going to be the endorsement. Believe me, if you read the editorials at the Washington Post, which I do, I like to read the opposing opinion from what I feel. You know who they're endorsing.
But they're not endorsing anybody. Like that's the whole point.
But you get my point. You get
the,
what the
problem is that, and you know, the editorial board is a lot of times different from what you're reading, Joe. You know, and on those opinion pages, the editorial board sometimes part of the problem is the editorial board. You know, as it becomes more and more known, it's a lot of times the same people who are writing the news articles, and you know, in some cases, you shouldn't have that crossover, right? I mean, you shouldn't have people who are doing the news in the same issue of the paper having somebody write something that is a straight news story and also here is the opinion on the matter. But really, the times have changed. And I agree with, I would encourage a lot of people to read Jeff Bezos's post here on the Washington Post. Now, they've lost a lot of subscribers ever since then. 200,000, I think I read, plus subscribers. Now, whether or not that bothers Bezos, who I think has the money to make up for it, is another story. Whether they're able to bounce back and turn that around into something different, I think, is another story. I even saw the New York Times was getting some blowback for this because people confused the two, which might tell you something in the first place.
Yeah.
But the times have changed a little bit where we've gone from this idea that what you're reading all the time is the paper of record, like this is the straight news, to now people are sorting out, like it's a lot tougher to see. And there is this idea of, and it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds. I really think it's since social media took off, Twitter, and you have all these people who are writing for papers, now they're told, all right, get on Twitter, and they're sharing their own personal thoughts on things, and it's like, whoopsie, you can't put that genie back in the bottle, because once you go off on one thing or another, when you're supposed to be the just the facts reporter, it's impossible to unsee, right? Like, you know it. Like, now it's out there, and now that bleeds into, like, people are going to have that in the back of their mind when they read the story, no matter if it's, you know, perfectly written, expertly sourced, whatever, or not. It doesn't matter anymore in the people's minds. And I think what Bezos said in his pretty lengthy answer defending them not endorsing a political candidate is kind of spot on. A paper to move forward, if you want to go back to being a trusted source, if you want to go back to being read by everybody as the Washington Post, if you want to go back to, you know, being that thing that everybody turned to, not just some people turn to, I think this is the right move because, yes, it adds to that perception that the newspaper is biased, whether you like it or not, it does add to the perception. And so I kind of agree with him with what he said right there. I hope they don't turn back on it because of the backlash they've seen over the past several days with all these lost subscribers. Because I kind of think that it is the right one. And I mean, the title of it says it all. The Hard Truth. Americans Don't Trust the News Media. I mean, that's the title of the op-ed.
Across all party lines, those numbers are going down yearly.
But how often do you see a news outlet state that as plainly as was just done right there?
You'd never see it. They avoid that.
I think it could be an important turning point. Like, it's a look-in-the-mirror type situation. And that's what, you know, Bezos, you love him or hate him, he's a pretty successful business guy, and you know, he doesn't have a long storied paper, and I don't think he went to journalism school.
Yeah.
I didn't read up on him, but, you know, I don't know that that's true or not, but it doesn't seem like it would be. Like, he's not kind of caught into the tradition or, you know, this is how it's always done or something like that. He's just looking at it and saying, as a matter of fact, hey, look, people don't trust it. Look at the numbers. Look at what people are saying. Look at how, look at the comments on our own articles. Look at, you know, anything you want to. People don't trust the news media, and that includes us. How are we going to change it? Here's a little way that maybe starts. So I don't hate the move.
No, I am surprised. And maybe I just don't understand, Brian. And I'm fine with admitting if I don't understand. I don't understand so many people canceling their subscription over it. Like, obviously, it wasn't going to affect your vote. You know, you already knew who you were voting for. I just don't understand completely, you know, something that you've obviously depended on, just ditching that subscription. Now, I realize you can break those numbers down. There's a lot of digital subscriptions. I mean, heck, I'm a subscriber to the Washington Post because it's $2 a month to get some, you know, to get their main articles. And it does help when I'm looking for something to talk about. But I don't understand that. I'd love if someone out there is one of these people who would, you know, cancel their subscription over the paper not endorsing, because I just don't understand being that upset. Like, do you really think anyone's affected by the paper endorsed or not? I personally don't. I don't think it's 1920. I don't think people are holding the pen in the Scantron and just waiting for their favorite newspaper to endorse a candidate.
No, I think 200,000 people were. And that's why they canceled their subscription.
They weren't. Because if they were, they wouldn't be upset. They're upset that they didn't endorse because they think a non-endorsement is against the party they've always endorsed. I think 200,000 people know exactly who they're voting for, and they're upset that the paper didn't put the word out there. My thought is, do you really think anyone's vote was going to be decided on who the paper endorsed? I don't think anyone's was.
Oh, no, that's what, you know, Jeff Bezos was saying in this op-ed. That,
exactly.
You know, the vote, but it's...
So I don't understand people just canceling their subscription. Who cares?
Well, you just said, like, the exact reason why people are canceling their subscription. They wanted to see the endorsement that they thought was coming. It's a very partisan issue. I would guarantee you that 90% of those 200,000 and counting people were expecting an endorsement of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And that it didn't get it, and now they're upset about it. They're canceling the subscription. It's a way to show we're upset, because for these 200,000 plus people, instead of, you know, they're not subscribing to you know, necessarily the newspaper or just, you know, the boring rundown of what's going on. They're subscribing to what they thought they were getting, which was, you know, kind of the news the way they see it.
They still are. If you read a Washington Post article, which I read a few this morning, they still are getting the news the way they see it. I mean, it is still a very leaning left paper if you read the articles in there. You don't need the endorsement to know that.
Okay, but
if you're a subscriber, I'm saying.
Wait, do you understand what I'm saying, though?
I understand what you're saying. I think it's a little, I think some people are overreacting, if you ask me.
Well, I don't, I'm the wrong person to ask, because I'm not, you know, a newspaper endorsement does not, anything endorsement does not really ring that much.
I say end all newspaper
endorsements. What endorsement would? Like, what are the endorsements that do matter?
For me personally, no, I make up my mind. I don't need anyone telling me. And I don't.
But there is definitely.
I'm not saying there's not. I'm saying for me personally, like
But I'm saying for you personally, there's definitely endorsements that would sway you one way or the other. 100% for every single person there is, somebody you trust, somebody you know, somebody you agree with. If they're endorsing one candidate over the other, absolutely for every single person.
I can't imagine one person telling me, "Hey, you should think about doing this," and it changing my mind.
You can't imagine one person in your entire life.
No.
Anyone.
No. I honestly can't. Because I don't. And number one, I don't really care. Like, I'm not the kind of person who also will get.
I don't think. By the way, I don't think you're lying. I just think you're not being true to yourself.
I mean, I also don't like if someone, you know, if a celebrity I like is, you know, endorsing another candidate, I don't, oh my gosh, I'm going to burn all the records. Like, I just don't care. Like, I live in the Times. I observe what my life's like, and I vote based on that. I don't care if you want to go endorse. That's fine. Great.
I'm not saying necessarily a celebrity either.
No, I'm just saying.
It could be your parents. It could be your son or daughter. It could be your spouse. It could be somebody at work. Anybody you look up to. Anybody who you listen to. I mean, think of how much time we spend listening to podcasts, listening to shows, you know, taking in the thoughts of other people. You mean to tell me, you know, Trump was just on Joe Rogan for whatever. And I don't know if he's officially endorsed, but, you know. I think if you listen to any of it, you can pretty much guess, just like what you were saying about the Washington Post.
Right.
You mean to tell me that I'm not saying this to you personally, but a lot of people would say, well, endorsements don't matter to me. But if you listen to 6 hours, let's say, of Joe Rogan talking to you every single week, and you're going to tell me that that wouldn't weigh on you at all? What way he's thinking on because like it or not, has a lot of influence on you.
I think I'm the wrong person to ask. I mean, I'm 120% positive who I'm voting for, and there's not one person in this world who could tell me otherwise.
But you got that way, what, by only listening to the candidates and no one else?
I mean, if you're talking about the current election, I got that way because, well, we've pretty much been under administrations from both these people. I think it's a clear, in my opinion, it was a pretty easy. I didn't need anyone to tell me about it. And again, we follow this stuff every day. It's in our face every day.
Through other people, though.
Through other people. I guess I don't get your point. Like, you talk because
I just think it's like kind of crazy to me to say that there's nobody in your life that you could think of
If
they endorsed a candidate.
I love my parents. I love my wife. If any of them told, I don't care who they vote for, and I really don't care who they tell me to vote for. Like, I'm not making the base judgment because my dad called me and goes, which my dad would never do this, I think you should reconsider your vote. Like, okay. We're looking at the election different.
I think everyone can absolutely be swayed by somebody.
I mean, obviously, you're right, because we wouldn't have this every 4 years. Obviously, you're right. I'm just saying, for me personally, I cannot think of one person, a close friend, a family.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
A family relative, well, they're the same thing. All the way up to a celebrity, another politician. I cannot think of one person who could sway my vote in any election that I voted in since 2006.
I could probably think of a list. What about you? 803-0930. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. A week to go until Election Day. You know, the Washington Post decided not to endorse any candidate in this election or really going forward. Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. The Amazon founder wrote an op-ed about it saying it's the only way to move forward. He said endorsements have little impact, but they increase the perception that the newspaper is biased. Now, I would tend to agree with that. You know, Joe and I were sitting here, but like, that kind of makes sense. And for a newspaper's endorsement, does it carry the weight that it used to? And this can go beyond a newspaper. It can go to any form of media. We become so diluted. You know, does any endorsement carry the weight that it used to coming from these traditional outlets? Maybe not. But there is still the power of the endorsement. I certainly think, and I wouldn't mind knowing from you, you know, who has that power with you? You know, who do you listen to? Who do you know? Who would come up to you and talk to you about, you know, it might not be the president, could be anyone. But what endorsement still has power with you? 803-0930, you know, on our line here, Joe, on the Volkswagen Voyager Park text board, a few people chiming in saying David Bellavia you know, would influence you. And a lot of people listen to David every single day. Yes. That, you know, it's what I was saying is, I think this is maybe the medium that would have the most power. I still don't think a station-wide endorsement is ever a good idea. But if you're listening to a particular person for hours every single day, it becomes part of your family. I mean, that endorsement, whether you admit it or not, I think, definitely will weigh into your decision at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the texter say, Dave, now, you know, I first off, David and I would have to think differently. But if David Bellavia, you know, said someone other than who I was planning to vote for, yeah, you're right. You know, I would consider.
Wait, and also, here's part of the issue. You're thinking about the presidential election while we're talking about this.
Yes, of course.
You're not thinking. Think about a race where you don't know who the candidates are.
A race that I have to vote in.
Yeah.
Where I don't. Like, I tried to make that not the case, Brian. Like, I know this sounds crazy, and everyone jokes about how I don't read, but I do research, especially with Hardline. I do research about people who are on the ballot, and I try to make an informed opinion about who is more aligned. And you said this perfectly yesterday. Who's more aligned on the topics that I go in mind to the ballot box with?
It's not always possible. Think of a school board election, Joe. I know you know everything about everything on the ballot, unlike the rest of us. But think of whatever. Well, if you didn't know, who would...
you're right.
A school board election, something like that. There's a state...
I've never said I know
Senate
seat about everything. I've never said
that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, where you don't have a strong opinion... Who is likely to influence you? Like, who are the people you would listen to?
That's an interesting example, because I think the best endorsement or the biggest influence to actually go and vote in a school board meeting is someone who's made their voice be heard. Like, I think that drives people, just the candidates themselves getting out there. But you're right. I would definitely, in a case like that, listen to someone who is obviously more knowledgeable of what's going on in the school board than I am. You're right. You're absolutely right. And I didn't mean to sound so harsh. And I am talking about this election. Obviously, other elections, there are school board elections where I would definitely need to talk with someone and know more about what the hell's going on. But with all that said, doesn't mean I don't like talking politics, especially with people who disagree with me. I actually do. I think as long as you don't yell at each other and get red in the face like you see on TV, that's not real life. I think it's great. I enjoy hearing other people's opinions and why we're different and what we actually agree on and disagree on. I think it's insightful and gives you a kind of a view onto people who don't think like you.
It's tough for me to have an answer to this question, because I think for me the list would be too long to count, you know, whose endorsement matters to you. Because I think, if I'm being honest, I think it all matters to me, but in different ways. I do not think that there is one person, one outlet, one whatever that would endorse a candidate that would sway my vote. Like, I'm not sure if there is one thing for me, you know, one person or one thing that could come out and say, all right, we want you to vote this way, that would sway my vote. But that's just kind of who I am and where I am in life. And for a lot of people, it would be different. And I'll give you an example. For a lot of people, you know, your employer would absolutely swing your vote. You know, if you work for somebody that contracts with the government, whether that is on the city, state, federal level, whatever it is, and there's an election that comes up and there's kind of a clear choice of, hey, if this person gets into office, very likely, you know, whatever we're working on will continue. If this person gets into office, maybe not so much. We can't really be sure. That would absolutely sway your vote. And I think that's regardless of whatever else your policy decision is.
Yeah.
You know, you could be ideologically opposed to one another, but if it's directly impacting your livelihood,
yeah,
your job,
income.
That would be a humongous endorsement for you.
Yeah, I know an example of that. I won't say names or the business, but of someone who, you know, they were told that if one candidate wins, they will continue, as you said, the project and getting the money. And if the other, at the time, the incumbent wins, they're going to take that away.
There's a lot.
Well, guess what? The candidate that they said would keep it won, and they still took it away. Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of examples of that.
Yeah.
Public-private partnerships, you know, people that work directly with a lot of these politicians in office. And maybe that's more of a stability thing than anything else, but it is a type of endorsement that would really weigh on you heading to the polls.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, I admit I'm viewing everything from a center-right view, and my bias gets in the way of everything. It would be crazy to say it doesn't. But you see, you know, the Washington Post not endorsing, USA Today, LA Times, but you also see unions not endorsing. Is that the candidates, or is it what you're saying, especially when it comes to the media, not the unions as much, the media, is it what you're saying, hey, we're just trying, or what Jeff Bezos says, we're just trying to gain some credibility back in the media?
You know, I don't know what the real answer is. I want to believe it's what Jeff Bezos is saying, and I do think it's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, you're at the end of basically a 10-year run where your credibility has taken a humongous hit. And if this is a way, like, it's a step, it's not a step everybody agrees with, obviously. But if it's a step that you want to take to try and restore credibility and in a way show people like, hey, we want to do what we can to prove to you that we're unbiased. Like, I think it's the absolute right decision. And I think it's what they probably should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, to restore that credibility to it, to restore the credibility, by the way, so that you can get to a point where maybe you can endorse candidates again and it will have a real impact on what people think. 803-0930. We'll go to the phones. We'll go to Nick in Tonawanda. Nick, you're on WBEN.
Morning, guys. You know, my spin on this, my opinion, is that endorsements by newspapers do not really carry a lot of weight, especially endorsements by famous people. I'll go with an endorsement from a giant union that has tens of thousands of people. But I just don't think that endorsements in general carry the weight that they used to. If you want a real indication of where a contest is going, check out the betting lines.
That's one way to do it, Nick. I agree with you with what you said about endorsements, but I got to ask, if you really think about it, like think hard, whose endorsement would matter to you? You know, person, organization, where would you find that an endorsement hits home with you?
Well, it would be somebody who's not obvious. For instance, the Buffalo News is not going to endorse anybody from the right. And you know that ahead of time. You know that before they even have a candidate for the race. If you take a union that has, you know, tens of thousands of members and they poll those members, I think that that's more of an honest indication of where people are. You know, nobody really cares what Robert De Niro says. Nobody cares what the Buffalo News says. You know, it rubs the ego of the people for whom the endorsement favors, obviously. But as far as real indications of where things are going, polls are skewed. Polls are skewed, and endorsements really do not count. You have to check where the money is.
Hey, Nick, thanks for the call. I agree with you to an extent, and he used an example there of Robert De Niro, and I think he's generally right.
Yeah.
With, you know, actors, actresses.
The celebrity.
Okay. Actors, actresses, I don't think have, like, that pull that they think they do.
Right.
But I would not open that up to all celebrity. What would you characterize Elon Musk as? He's definitely a celebrity.
That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah. I mean, he's a businessman, but he is a celebrity. I mean, he fits the criteria.
You know, again, I'm not saying in the end, you do make up your own mind. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say that, hey, everybody here listening, your mind is made up by somebody else. Like, you are just following the wave of one other person. But it plays a factor into your decision-making.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who don't go by celebrity endorsements that one way or the other, by the way. You know, Elon Musk, a person that comes out. I think that weighs into people like, why is he endorsing Donald Trump? That's something to think about. Maybe it's an instant, he's endorsing Donald Trump. Well, now I'm never voting for him. Like, right? Like, it can work both ways. But
it's a good point.
I do think stuff like that. And, you know, I want to specifically say, you know, Taylor Swift got a lot of attention for obvious reasons. Right. She has a massive following. Bad Bunny in recent days, like, he has a massive following, which is hilarious because it perfectly illustrates Bad Bunny. How many of you right now are hearing that name for the very first time? Right?
Yeah.
A ton. Yeah. If I did not watch any pro wrestling, I would be one of you. But he has a massive following. There's this great, he did a wrestling match. And they ran like a big show in Puerto Rico. Some huge like arena or stadium. And it was, it had to be the coolest entrance of all time. He came out, you know, to one of his songs, I would guess. Because that's what he does. And Joe, like this entire audience, to a person, is singing along with every word to this song that I've never heard before in my entire life. It's like sends a chill down your spine. And like, that guy's got, you know, and then he raises his hand up and the roof blows off the place. Like, that's a person with influence.
Yeah, great. Yep.
And I think musicians specifically have pull the way that, you know, certainly actors like to think they do, and a lot of other celebrities like to think they do, but don't. Because a musician, like, that's different. If you have a couple of musicians that you listen to, and particularly maybe not like bubblegum pop or, you know, a lot of stuff that you hear a lot, maybe on the radio or that's super popular, but if you have musicians and you hear them all the time, you listen to their music all their time, their music is maybe pointed politically, that will have an impact. And they come out and endorse somebody.
Yeah.
That will, I think, absolutely have an impact. I'm not saying that, oh, if you love, you know, whoever it is, they come out and endorse it, then you're automatically going to vote that way.
Right.
But I think it has an impact.
No, I get what you're saying. It draws your attention to, I think the Elon Musk thing was a great example. Like, why is the guy that makes electric cars going toward the Republican? And I do think, maybe you're not going to vote for him, but you might, okay, what am I missing?
Yeah, like if you have a band, you listen to them all the time, you sing along with words, and it means something to you.
Yeah.
As a lot of people do. And they come out and, you know, and whatever the lyrics are, like what, but it moves you to listen to that music, and they come out and endorse one candidate in particular. I mean, I can't imagine you are not at least intrigued as to, like, well, this person moves me. What are they seeing in this candidate?
To a point, though, because I think there's the musicians who, well, they always are going to endorse and be on stage with the one party, right? Like, I think that's why in 2020, Taylor Swift's endorsement was so big, because she didn't endorse anyone in 2016. It was, you know, everyone's, why did Taylor Swift not endorse anyone? And then she did in 2020. So this is not someone who makes a regular, and now she is again, maybe she'll become Bruce Springsteen. But then you got, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, well, they're always endorsing. They're always on stage with just one side. And it's every 4 years, they're always making an endorsement.
Yeah, that's not really who I'm thinking of here. Like, because like it falls into that category that you think. Like, I'm trying to
make a parallel though. Of like, I do think if it's not just every 4 years you're making the same endorsement.
Yeah,
I think it carries more weight.
Yeah, but if you, and it could be, it doesn't have to be on the level of Bruce Springsteen. I mean, they don't have to be playing arenas. They could be playing the bar around the corner.
Right.
If it means something to you, like that is somebody. Like, if you listen to, if somebody has your ear enough to where you're listening to them for hours every single week, you can't tell me that their endorsement means nothing to you. You can believe that it means nothing to you. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to vote that way, but it means something. Like, it will stick in your head a little bit, And I think at least it should to you. If you care about somebody enough to, you know, listen for hours and hours, you respect their opinion enough, maybe their music or their lyrics mean something, I think it's also worth it to you. If they endorse a candidate, you might want to figure out maybe you like them too, because you're liking the other stuff.
You mentioned Joe Rogan, and, you know, I mean, he does have a massive following. You saw how quickly all the viewers and listeners that the Trump interview got. With that in mind, it is surprising that Kamala Harris declined the invitation because of that massive audience. Like you said, if you hear it, at least it's going to, hey, you know, oh, I didn't hear them say this. It is kind of surprising that she would decline that interview.
I don't think so.
To that massive audience. She hasn't been on a podcast that big.
She's been on some big shows, but I don't see the benefit to her to being on that show at all. I don't see the benefit to any candidate. I mean, this is now like taking off my, what I want. I'm sure I'd want everybody to do a 3-hour long rambling sit down podcast. I mean, then you really get to know if you listen to Trump on that show, like it does illustrate and they talk about it in the show. Like,
yeah.
Where are you going with this? Like, what can we bring it back to what we were talking about?
It's a real conversation. It'd be nice to see politicians.
It rambles on and on. Yeah. And like, if I'm anyone on the Harris team, I'm not signing up for that. Like 3 hours it's 3 hours. And what is to gain?
Well, apparently she's not doing well with male voters.
I think you go on that show specifically where, again, like the Washington Post, I'm not endorsing anybody, but you know exactly how that you're going to be treated to a much different standard than Trump was.
You might be right, but if you listen to that interview, Rogan did try to, you know, push back when he could and make the point that he'd love to have Kamala Harris on the show.
Every now and then, but you don't think that there would be more of a pushback?
Probably.
Right? I mean, that's why
it's like a Trump surrogate going on CNN and a Harris surrogate going on Fox.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to get more pushback.
Right. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And you know why you'd limit it to an hour instead of 3 hours?
Yeah.
Like, you're a candidate for anything. You don't want to talk anywhere for 3 hours. You know what I do? I talk for 5 hours. You know how easy it is to shoot yourself in the foot?
I talk for 1 hour and I do it on a regular basis.
You don't want to sign up for that ahead of an election. I can't believe anybody does it. It's incredible. Anyways. But no, I think it's something good for people to think about. The endorsement, like whose endorsement matters to you. I honestly think like the one that would have the biggest, you know, have the most gravitas that, you know, would be your employer. If that, you know, if it applies. It doesn't really apply so much to us. There's a lot of people it wouldn't really apply to, but there are some where it is vital.
Yeah.
Maybe there's your biggest endorsement ever. We're back here tomorrow.
It'll be less than a week till Election Day.
Yeah.
We're counting the days off. We're tearing the, you know, I have the countdown to Christmas on my wine cart. We just teared the days away to the election. David's up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.